The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
When people come in here, they think that we get them for free or something like that, but we don't. We have no other reason except for dependability and tone.
This content's free, our work isn't. So help us out and like and subscribe, right guys?
Right. Yeah.
Let's go. Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar, hanging out at Soldier Field in Chicago. That's right, Chicago Cubs fan here. I'm with James Bowman. James, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
We're checking out the rigs with My Chemical Romance before their show here at Soldier Field, home of the Bears. James is looking after Frank's gear. You might know James from Against Me and of course, pedal maker extraordinaire. So check out his wares as Frank already has. But tell me about this beautiful telly or T style.
Oh, this is a Acastidosa Mariana, I believe is the model. I don't know. These are great, really, really great guitars. Frank got this and immediately it was kind of like the one to start the shows and start the tour. He's a great builder. They make everything. So fantastic guitar.
That's
my personal favorite.
Oh,
that
really?
Is out here right now. It is fantastic.
Wow. What do you dig about it? Or what maybe Frank also digs about it?
It's super resonant. It plays really well. It just sounds good. It feels good. If like you play this guitar, you will not put it down. It is fantastic.
I can tell that there's a lot of intricate details, and one thing that jumped out at me is how the fretboard angles out down here.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
I don't know, that's just like their little touch, you know, just like make it a little different. All of his guitars have some sort of trim on them. We're big with the Masteries. This came standard with one on it, you know. So it gets a lot of work. Plays it a couple different times throughout the night, and it's fantastic guitar.
What tuning does this one live in?
Everything's a half step down.
Okay.
So, that's throughout the whole set.
All right.
Just everything a half step down.
And then for strings, what are you guys using?
We are using the Ernie Ball Paradigm 52 to 10s.
All right.
11s, 52 to 11. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, let's keep cruising. I know you're busy today, so just keep going down the line.
Yeah, these are kind of like in order of the set right now.
All
right. So the next one would be this Ernie Ball Stingray. Did it in this custom kind of like Stormtrooper, like matte white.
Yeah.
Have like coated necks on them as well. Everyone loves Ernie Balls. They make great guitars.
Yeah.
So
we're talking off camera that Frank is a guitar geek.
He really is.
You and I are, but it's so cool that he is not biased, as we'll see here with the different headstocks.
Yeah.
If he likes it, he plays it.
Absolutely. There's no favoritism or, you know, it's if it sounds good and it plays great, then it works in the set, then it's getting played. These are fantastic. We have quite a few of them. We have this one up here. We also have on the B stage, we have one that is like this, but it's all black.
Okay.
Same setup on that. They're just really great guitars. Trim system on these works really great. The only thing we did was added some lumen lay dots on the side and that's it.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Now, as you grab the next guitar, tell me about maybe, I know you've been on a few tours with Frank, is like how he goes about selecting guitars. Is it something like a legacy choice based on, you know, this was used on the record?
There's a couple that kind of get thrown in because they were, you know, kind of specific to a song or an era. It's mostly like when we started rehearsals for this, it was, we brought a lot out. We had, I think like 30 guitars to choose from and then just kind of like whittled it down to like, these are the best for the song and this fits. And then there's like a couple throwback kind of, like the white Les Paul. So this kind of is like the throwback to the guitar of the era, but upgraded to a vintage custom, if you will. This is just, I think it's a 92, so it's not super old, but gets the job done. And this is the Black Parade guitar.
All right.
Only gets played for that song during the night, and then that's what we're using right now. So that's the one. That's kind of like the callback to that that era. He has a couple guitars out on the B stage that are more for the older,
okay,
you know, the callback kind of era. This is a cool one, Abernethy. I don't even know what this model is. It is maybe the wildest guitar I've ever seen with the finish. It's also tiny and it weighs like 6 ounces.
Wow.
And yeah. This looks cool. It takes forever to string. If anyone has a trick, let me know because I'm trying to figure it out. It takes me forever. But yeah, this thing sounds great. It's, I don't know. It's like the classical, like slotted peg head.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just stupid. It just takes me...
Your words. I didn't say that.
It takes me a lot longer than it should. So I do this one last every day.
Okay.
But it is a very cool guitar. Sounds great. That was one of the ones that I was like, really? And he's like, I love it. And then it is a great guitar.
It sounds great, yeah. Now, are all these getting used or are some of these backups?
No, these are... Every one of these is used throughout the night, except for... This over here actually belongs to our production manager. Okay. That was a marketplace purchase, but it's just riding here for now. We got a few of these Novos kicking around. This one, crazy sparkly silver finish. Again, fits the bill with the mastery, you know, gets to wiggling. Has some nice P90s that sound great.
That trem arm is so cool.
These are like their like custom Novo style trem arm. They're cool. We kind of put them on a lot of the, well, I guess they're not out here, but on all the Novos, we switched them over.
Okay.
They're cool. Great sounding playing guitars again. They're doing awesome stuff over there.
Yeah, Novo's Nashville based, so we see those quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, they're kind of, everyone loves them now. They're cool. He has quite a few of them. I think we have just this one out here now. Okay. We've had a couple different ones over the years. Danocaster, I think out of all the guitars here, this and one other one were on the kind of like reunion tour that we did a couple years ago.
Okay.
But this is also just another really solid, kind of weird. It's like Jazzmaster-y trim set up with the Jazzmaster pickup. This is a Lawler. I got in touch with them to figure out what this actually is, and I guess it's just a kind of one-off thing they did for Danocaster a while back. They said they'd still make them if we got in touch with them, but
reach out about it? Do you need repair?
What it was, because there's no markings on the back other than it saying Lawler, and I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh cool, like yeah, those were, we did those at some point for Dano himself, and then, you know, they don't pop up very often. I think they sound really good. They're very warm, kind of high output. I think it's an Elnico 5 magnet.
All right.
But it just sounds really good. Another great guitar. That is the common theme here. These are all great guitars. He has good taste, and, you know, they are all fantastic.
Yeah, like I said, I know that he's got a lot of guitars to pick from.
He does.
From narrowing it down from 30, and I bet you beyond 30 is a lot more, too.
Yes. We'll just say yes. This is a Fender Custom Shop Levi Perry built Jazzmaster. Never met Levi myself, but goddamn does he make fantastic guitars. Something about his treatment with the necks specifically, it feels like a vintage guitar and plays like one, sounds fantastic. I don't know, that guy needs a raise.
I love the roller.
Yeah, so it has a fuzz circuit built into it for the batteries here. This actually switches the fuzz circuit on and off. And then you have the controls here where, you know, that pickup circuit would be.
Okay.
It actually has some controls here.
Do you know what fuzz circuit's in there?
I don't know.
Fuzz face or?
No, it's just kind of, I think maybe his little, little play on something. But it sounds really good. It's very loud and aggressive.
Not bad.
Sounds very cool.
What's it get used on? That's a specific thing
out,
to have.
This is played on House of Wolves.
Okay.
And he just kind of switches it on instead of, oh my God, Evan! Switches it on here and there to just add like some real like low end, like grit and boost. And it sounds fantastic. Very cool guitar. And I make these little labels where it just said like volume and grit, I think, at one point, but this one says scumfuck, and that's awesome. I also have labels that say Mayor McCheese that I might throw on it at one point. But yeah, you know, gotta stay entertained.
Yeah, right.
And then this is a fairly new addition, so a weird one. Gibson Midtown. Yeah, it's just like a flat top 335, basically. It's got like the center block. It's really resonant. Got this at CME, actually, on an Ellis Dunes tour, and it ended up here. And yeah, he plays teenagers on it. He likes it. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder how much like Frank actively goes out and seeks guitars like when he's in a city like a Nashville or Chicago.
Yeah, there's some that are like, he already knows they're there, and he's like, we have to go here. And we'll go check those out. And then some other ones, you know, they just kind of stumble on, and that's pretty great.
Do you ever put the dog on the scent? You know, ever point him in the direction of something?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You have to. You're like, oh, check this out, you know? This is basically, it's technically a Jaguar, but it's like a, you know, Fender scale, not the shorter scale like a Jag typically is. But yeah, Lawler pickups. The only thing we've really switched was the Tele switch. So you have three independent picking, you know, pickup options instead of the blends with the toggle switches that we had.
Gotcha.
The little slider switches. And then yeah, other than that, it has like a momentary mute.
Cool knobs.
Yeah, Scorpions. Those Fazio Electronics out of LA. They make she does fantastic.
Oh, Colleen's awesome.
Yeah, she does fantastic amp work, and her and her partner make these awesome knobs, and they make amp jewels as well. And since this was like his main guitar on the Dunes thing, and they had like the scorpion motif going, I got these for him to throw on there. Little scorpion knobs. But yeah, they make cool stuff and do great work. But yeah, this is the number one. Dennis Galzuka, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, at the custom shop, made both of these. The other one is out on the B stage. And yeah, very cool guitars. Yeah, I don't know. I get messages all the time like, what's the fretboard radius and what's this and what's that?
Because I know Frank had been, the thing that he mentioned, the Ellis Dunes thing, was that the neck was what?
The neck was
copied off of something
else.
Yeah,
so they took Mike Adams. He's like the offset guru, you know?
Yeah, Mike Adams.
But he has a, I think it's a 59 Jazzmaster that he called Pancake. And this is like, they took it at the custom shop and they digitally modeled and measured and recreated two of those necks, and they were on number one and number two of this Jazz Master Jaguar kind of hybrid. It does say Jaguar up there. I don't know if it's
but so that's,
it is
that's
technically
what we'll go with.
Jazz. It's a Jaguar, long scale, but nothing longer than 25
and a half.
But yeah, and then Lawler gold foils, Lawler P90. It's not like noiseless or overwound or anything. It's just a standard, you know, bridge P90, mastery bridge on there. And yeah,
cool, man.
Cool
well,
guitar.
I know we got to get through the rest of the gear and then the other guy's stuff, but let's dive into amps.
Let's do it.
We got a pair here.
Yeah, we were using the Dookie modded Super Lead as like the main amp on the last tour, so. Frank found these purple ones, and they were just standard 100 watt super leads. We took them to Dave Friedman along with the original one we had, and kind of copied the circuit a little bit of the mod, and then added a couple tweaks here to, you know, to the EQ of it. Added a little tight switch here, which tightens up the mids and the lows, and makes it just kind of like a beast.
Yeah, because you were saying off camera that mod, the Dookie mod, kind of gives it some high end.
It's super high end, yeah. Like audio fidelity wise, like super, like almost shrill. Like with the tone control and the treble, like it gets really really brittle sounding.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was intentional. I don't know if it's just the one that we had. I don't think it's just the one we have, because I have one too, and it also sounds that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are slightly different, but based on that, and that's just a main and a backup. And then, so that's like the main heavy sound.
Okay.
There are some like smaller kind of amp sounds, which are all through twin reverbs.
Oh, all right.
There are two on stage. Yeah, all the effects route through the RJM stuff, and as well as the amps, so it's all selectable.
Yeah, are they hitting like the Fender stuff, or is the Marshall getting anything?
It's certain patches will hit, you know, like the main sounds are all the Marshalls, and then the effects come into play on those as well.
All right.
And then there is some smaller amp sounds that are also with a twin that have their own effects that go to it.
Okay.
And then they're both on at the same time as well, and then they have effects routed to both of them. And then there's another twin. I've been asked this a lot. There's another twin on stage that doesn't have mics in front of it. It's the one on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And that is, those are actually the new Tone Master twin reverbs.
Ah.
They're solid state. They sound fantastic. They work really well. And they have a DI on the back with built-in cab sims. And so we're using that as just like a dedicated clean on the bottom.
House.
So that's why it doesn't have mics on it.
There you go.
So that goes to the ear mix, mainly. Right. So you have like a dedicated clean, and then you have a clean with effects, and then you have the big overdrive sound.
And now is he switching between those sounds like, okay, that part, or the amps, both amps, we'll talk Marshall and Fender specifically on at the same time, or is it kind of either or?
It's either or, and then there are parts where they are both on at the same time. So there are like specific patches where it is the twin and some effects, or it is the Marshall and some effects, and then there are some parts where it's both of them on, and then like the bigger overdrive pedal, which would bring us to overdrives or to the pedals in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, all through the RJM gizmos, and then we have one of the old Mesa 5-band EQs, a Prince of Tone, a Bowman Audio Endeavors.
I've heard of that guy.
Overdrive.
To give you a quick shine in the spotlight, what's your take or tweak on the mythical circuit?
Klon pedals are great. If they weren't great, they wouldn't be copied so many times over.
Yeah.
Everyone tries to do their own spin on it. That's what I did as well. I wished mine, it was modeled after my original one. I thought the circuit sounded fantastic. I just wish it had a little more low end in it and was capable of more aggressive overdrive.
Okay.
And that's what I did.
Right on.
So that's basically what I changed in it.
What's the trick gain?
The trick gain is just some random pedal. We were out pedal shopping for rehearsals, and it was $50 in a case at LA Vintage, and I snagged it on the way out the door. We threw it in, and now it lives here.
Okay.
It seems like it's kind of based on maybe like a Tube Screamer.
Okay.
But it has a little EQ switchable control there. You know, individual EQ sections for bass and treble, and then a switch to make it like either high or low overdrive. And it sounds great. And then most of the bigger distorted, really blown out sounds are the JHS hard drive, which we've gone through a few different things in that spot and kind of settled on this one in rehearsals, and it stayed. It's aggressive and it does the trick.
What's in drawer 2?
Drawer 2, mostly the modulation stuff, and some, you know, the Ghost Echo, I guess we'll start here, the trim. It's just the standard Boss TR2 tremolo. Got this old MXR Phase 100, Awaza DM2, just because the vintage ones are expensive. That one does the same thing. Ghost Echo, and then little Pog for some octave there, and then just a little mini Holy Grail for the reverb. Down at the third and final drawer, we have one of the Jackson Audio, the Twin 12, which is basically the 1484 circuit in a box here.
Okay.
Use that on most of the clean stuff to just add a little grit.
To make the Fender sound like a Silvertone.
Oh, you know.
Not exactly.
Okay.
And then, yeah, Deluxe Memory Man, just, you know, another different delay kind of flavor there. Hand-wired Tube Screamer, just because someone said it sounded good, so we threw one in there. It gets used on a few different patches. And then we have the final slot is the Bellyacre, which is another Bowman Audio Endeavors pedal. Frank and I came up with an idea on that. It's just kind of like a more tweakable Big Muff circuit with some different clipping options. Little toggle switch, or you have the body knob where you can blend between the two clipping options, or just like hard switch
it. Oh, nice.
With the switch on front. And that was just kind of a fun little project that we did. And yeah, so that gets used on a few things, like the more kind of fuzzed out, crazier sounding stuff is that. And then that's kind of it.
Man, two quick questions. What's the Marshall heading for speaker cab or speakers?
That is just like an old, like 1960 B cab. I think it has like the G12 H30s in it. Yeah, I don't even remember what's in there, actually.
Okay.
That was one of two that were in cases that were the same, and we just pulled one out, plugged it in, and that's what we got.
Yeah. The last thing would be, I know that you've been on the Rune tour since 2022, and now this obviously big world tour is... Is there anything changed, or is this kind of how it's been? Was there any big changes, I should say?
No real big changes, just a few of the pedal options changed. We changed the routing of some things and like pedal placement in the order. And then just mainly guitarists, like swapped out some guitarists. But the main sound has always been, it's been, you know, the modded Marshall with twin reverb.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been it since we started up again in 2022.
James, I really appreciate it. I know we got to talk to the other fellas, but you got a busy day and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario's been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points, or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
Everyone, we're on the other side of the stage. We are with Josh, who is Raise Tech. Josh, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Real good, man. You are a man that has created quite the rig, and we'll get into that, but let's talk guitars first. Talk to me about this Les Paul, man. It's beauty.
Yeah, you know, we've pared it down to just maybe five guitars for this, the A stage, we're calling it, you know, for the back brace stuff.
Okay.
We went through a ton of these guitars leading up to, you know, our rehearsals. We went through almost all of them, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this I think it's a 78. It has the aesthetic. We're very aesthetic heavy out here.
Yeah.
So everything's got to have the right look. He's like, I can't walk out with my main, which is this natural back here. He's like, it's got to have a certain look. So, you know, this fit all, you know, checked all the boxes. It sounds great.
Yeah.
It's got the right look for what they're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been, we're using this on to the top of the show. So End Dead, House of Wolves. Those are the main ones we're using this one on. So
all right.
Yeah.
And I know that you just kind of got on this tour not that long ago, or at the beginning of the tour cycle, and you have some other high profile gigs. So tell me about anything that you know that's maybe changed or updated, and if nothing else, we can move on. But about strings and stuff. But did you know if there's any pickup swaps on this?
On this one, I don't think so.
Okay.
Strings, we're using 10 to 52 on everything.
Okay.
I think there's one exception. We got a 10 to 46 in that EVH, but besides that,
okay,
everything is 10 to 52.
Right on. Well, let's cruise through the guitars then, man. I know you got a busy job, so
yeah. This has been the. So we're only kind of using a handful here. We got this Les Paul. This was his, what we were calling his main, but it's kind of taken a back seat to this Tele back here and to the black Les Paul. This one does have an antiquity in the bridge.
Yeah, I know he's a big Seymour Duncan guy. I know for back in the day it was Fat Cats, P90s.
Yep. Yeah, we do have a couple P90s out here.
Okay.
I mean being used on Black Parade and. I'll say on Famous Last Words.
Okay.
So yeah, it's kind of.
I'm guessing the pickup selector was just something in the way, so he moved it down there.
That would be my guess. Yeah. He's. I mean, you can see he's got tons of marks. You know, he's very, he's got it all dialed in. So he's, oh, this is, you know, this is where I'm at for this part of the song.
Yeah. It's,
you know, a lot of them have this, this telly's got marks on the knobs as well. That's all he's doing. He's very in tune with what's going on. So just nice.
Yeah, which, because there's a lot going on. Their songs are layered. There's a lot of textures.
Yep.
And there's a lot of dynamics throughout their whole catalog. So yeah, it makes sense.
Especially to hit everything, you know, in such a few amount of guitars with, you know, the already songs we're doing on Black Parade. It's like we're in a lot of sonic territory. This has actually been used the most. This probably gets used for maybe six songs.
Which is cool because back in the day it was mainly Les Pauls, so seeing a Fender Telly is kind of rad.
It sounds great, man. It's everything you want out of a Telly, I believe. Yeah, it's a custom shop, 2005, I believe.
Oh, right on.
As far as I know, it's all stock. Again, same thing with the knobs. But yeah, this has been used on, it was Mama, there's a stretch of like five or six songs that's used on.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Are the songs contiguous or does it come back in and out of the set?
We bring it out for one and it goes away and then it comes back out for like five more songs in a row. Right. So it holds tune, sounds great. Yeah, for those songs in particular, like Mama, it's a real like kind of spanky. It's perfect with the deluxe. It's perfect. So,
cool.
Let's see what else we got here.
Yeah, much like Frank, as we've seen, there's an assortment of guitars, shapes, brands, which is always cool, and you get a lot of different flavors.
Yeah, for sure. This I think is a 57. This is used for one song. It's tuned down to D standard. Everything else is in D sharp standard right now. This is used for Sharpest Lives. And I mean, I'm a big P90 fan, so I can't, it sounds so good.
Yeah.
I wish we could use it on more songs, but we're using a lot of P90s out of the B stage.
Okay.
Which is cool. So, yeah.
And how many songs are they out on the B stage?
We do about 10.
All right.
Yeah, it's about 50-50. We wrap up here. It's a short little intermission, and then we run out there, and it's about 10 songs most nights.
Yeah. Does that make your job more difficult, just having kind of almost two setups, two rigs, or is it kind of dialed in?
Well, out there, we're all fractal.
Okay.
And we've got a guy out there, Brad, who's taking care of all that stuff. So basically, myself, Brad, our playback guy, Evan, our drum tech, we all run out there after this set's over, and some of the guys stay up here and kind of manage this stuff.
Okay.
So
then maybe that's when James is having a sandwich, just chilling out back here.
Yeah. He's waving at us from the A stage. Hey, man, how's it going out there?
Get paid the same.
Yeah. This is a fairly new Strat. Nothing special about it other than we use it on one song, Disenchanted. He just wanted to play something different. He's like, I don't want to write the Telly the entire time. Got a bunch of Strats.
Yeah.
So, but that's really it. I mean, we've got everything else here is backup. Some of the stuff comes out and goes to the B stage.
Okay. I see SG here, SG Junior.
Yeah, this just came back from the dressing room. This is going to the dressing room. We just swapped it for another Junior, which is going out to the B stage.
A few more Fenders down here.
A couple Strats, an EVH. We've got this Novo that's been making its rounds here and there.
But like you said, it kind of the first ones that you've introduced us to, those are the ones that are the heavy hitters. The rest of these are kind of...
Those five are the ones. Those are everything Black Parade is on those five guitars.
Got it. Last but not least, before we move on to the rest of the rig, we got an acoustic. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we got this Harmony. We really just use it for the top of the show and the end of the show. Ray plays, you know, the opening chord progression of the end on this, and then we come back and do the end phrase at the end of the show after Famous Last Words to kind of, you know, send the show off. So that's really it. It's very minimal, but you know, he wanted a specific look. This had the look. Again, back to the aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
And it actually sounds pretty good. We put the LR bags M1 Active in there, and it sounds great.
Well, Josh, tell me now about the rig, which is something you had a heavy hand in, and tell me about how it started. You had conversations with Ray, and now this is the result of all that.
Yeah, so Ray and I started talking about a month before I got to rehearsals with those guys, and he had this kind of list. I was like, what do you want it to do? Like, what's your, you know, tell me your wish list.
Yeah.
We'll see how many boxes we can check off. He sent me a bunch of pictures of his pedal board, of his current rack, And he's like, I run two heads. I want to have, I run some stuff in the effects loop. Okay. I need to be able to, I need more tonal control over my whole rig, which was, was really one of the big things. Like my solos, they get too pokey. You know, I wanted more control in that aspect. Mm. And just, we have a solo amp as well, which we have a dedicated effects chain for. As he said, it's like, I kind of want to do like a, it wouldn't be a wet dry, it's more like a mixed dry mix.
Okay.
But when we go to that solo patch, it's a little Amp Nation amp that's out, just a 1x12 combo.
Okay.
That's the dry, and the two 4x12s kind of become the mix wet.
What's the effects chain going into that Amp Nation?
Into the Amp Nation?
Yeah.
It's this drawer right here. I mean, for the most part, we're leaning heavy on this gearbox right now.
All
right. These three pedals are probably a good portion of maybe 50% of the solo sounds, and this is probably the other 50%, at least, you know, drive-wise.
Yeah.
We've been kind of experimenting. We haven't really put these in yet. They sound great. We just haven't really found a home for them.
We've gotten introduced to those at NAMMs. They're really versatile effects.
Yeah, they're really cool. It's just we haven't found a good place for them. I think maybe when we get out of doing just Black Parade on this rig, those will come more into play.
Got
you
it.
Know, we get into it. But yeah, this whole drawer is just
kind
for
that solo
drawer. Yeah.
Okay.
It only hits the front of that Amp Nation.
So going back to the rig equation, so you're having conversations with him, and then are these the amps that he wanted to be included, or we changed that during that conversation?
No, he has a, you know, he's got a bunch of Freemans, he's got a bunch of Marshalls, and
he's been
a big
Marshall guy for a long time.
Yeah. So we kind of, the Metropolis has kind of stayed in place, I think. We tried to Freeman with it. We came back to this Marshall, and we kept coming back to this combination.
Got it.
So we tried a bunch of other stuff. If there's one thing, Ray's always down to try new things.
Yeah.
New pedals, new amps, new cabinets, whatever it is. So we tried a bunch of combinations, and we finally settled here.
Okay.
You know, these with those Fryatt power stations, they just, they ticked all the boxes for us.
And just so everyone knows at home, are we like toggling between patches that one or the other? Or are these both on at all times?
Both on at all times.
Right on.
Yep. These are the main sound. This Marshall and the Metropolis, those are the two main sounds. The solo amp will only kick up for the solos. And we have a clean amp. We've got a Fender Deluxe.
Oh, all right.
Out there that is just for the clean sounds. And we don't have a ton of them, but there's enough. You know, when you need that real bright, spanky Fender sound,
it does
the trick. So,
all right, well, tell me about, I know we kind of looked at the one solo drawer. Tell me about the rest of the rack and then also the effects in the other drawers.
You want like a signal chain?
Yeah, or a signal chain, or just...
Okay.
Yeah, a signal chain would be great. Since you built it, you can tell us.
Yeah.
People love that stuff.
Yeah. So we've got the Axient Wireless. We're using, the GX44 is doing a lot of the heavy lifting. We're using it for, you know, to combine our wireless. We're also using both the effects, left and right effects loops in it. We're using it for amp switching, and we're using it for the pedal board. So we're kind of using everything it offers.
Okay.
So basically, this top RJM, the first eight loops in this and the first eight loops in here, they'll all hit the front end of these two amps. We have those in the left effects loop, so they can't hit anything else ever. These first eight on this bottom one are the solo amp.
Oh, and then, all right.
And then, so they can't hit anything. You know, they won't accidentally go here or anything like that. And then the last four are the effects loops for these. So we've got a delay, a reverb, and then we've also have one of those source, this EQ2 pedal.
Yeah, I noticed you had a couple of EQs throughout the rig here.
Tons of EQs.
Yeah.
Tons of EQ, yeah. That's basically all the tone shaping on the end. That what I was talking about, like, he wants to get the pokiness out of his solo patch, or, you know, a little mid scoop or a little mid bump or whatever that particular part needs.
Okay.
I think we're up to like 20 presets on it, so we're using it quite a bit. And we do have a ton of EQs. The main sound, realistically, is this EQ pedal hammering the front of those. I mean, it's at plus 13, plus 14 dB, and it's hitting those things real hard. So,
and I can't see, is because of my angle, is it a JMP? I didn't know, because you used to have 800s, you used to have the DSL 100, Earth 1000s.
Yeah. I'm sure we've got those in a case, wherever they are, over there somewhere.
So the GE7 hitting this is a core sound, okay.
That's the main sound. We've got, you know, our straight-in sound, and then the main sound is that that's where you get the real crunchy distortion.
Can we see that again? What, yeah. Like on the EQ sweeps that, or the faders, was he like anything really poking out? No,
I mean nothing in the EQ wise, nothing extreme. It's just the level of both. Sometimes these are both on, and you know, the level is hitting. It's hitting real hard.
Yeah.
So that's kind of driving the heck out of the amps.
I see a couple of James business cards in there.
Yeah, we got four of them now. They just sound really good, man. Like it's. We tried, you know, we had Tube Screamers in here. We tried, you know, all these other different kind of pedals. And he's like, hey, Bowman, you got another pedal? Yeah. Here you go. Yeah, threw it in there. So.
What are the two? Because I know that he explained this to me being like a Frank Signature Fuzz pedal, like a Big Muff variation. Mm. How are you using the two here differently?
This one's not really getting used at the moment.
Okay.
This is kind of future-proofing everything. I don't know if we're using this one too much at the moment either. Right. We had to take into consideration, like, we're not always going to be doing just Black Rain.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff in here, like the compressor's not really being used. We're still figuring out how to implement the Chase Bliss.
Yeah. It's a device.
It is a device. Yeah, that is a.
Yeah. I think it could drive my car.
Yep. I mean, to be fair, you could probably get away with taking all the overdrives out and using that thing, but it's less fun that way.
Yeah.
So,
so what else? So we got anything that worth calling out? I see a Phase 90.
We're not really using the Phase 90 at the moment either. We are using these two.
Tremolo and the carbon
copy.
Yeah,
those are kind of very specific parts.
That's a huge asset to the tone.
Yeah, we're using that three or four songs. It's a big... It's a big deal if I miss the cue on that one.
Yeah. And another thing that's kind of part of Ray's sound back in the day was a chorus, use of chorus. Is there a chorus pedal or something that maybe mimics that? Or
we only have a chorus pedal here. This is the solo drawer. So we haven't really been doing it too much. Not since I've been here anyway.
All right. And then the bottom drawer I saw earlier, we got a pair of Strymons.
Yeah. Yeah, got a Big Sky and a Timeline.
Got it.
One short of the trifecta. but yeah, those are running stereo. So we're running basically a stereo effects loop. Left into the top, right into the bottom.
Okay.
So.
And that's it for there. And then, of course, there's an actual pedal board out front.
Yeah,
too. So
yeah.
What's the theory behind that? Why is that getting used?
Just add to taste.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
For him?
Yeah, so he's using this as a controller. Which I think previous to me, he was actually using it with loops as well. But this time around, we didn't do any loops. And we're just using this as a controller. And I mean, for the most part, it's really just these two he's kind of add and subtract in the Black Parade set anyway.
Yeah.
The cool thing is we were able to get Ron and Sherry came out to rehearsals from RJM. So, you know, it'd be really great to be able to remote control this, because this is one of the things Ray had asked me. He's like, do you think we can remote control? So like when I'm at the end of a solo, you can pop me out of it if it's come over there or whatever. It's like, well, those, the PBCs or PBC6, they're not really meant to do that. But Ron figured it out, wrote us some firmware, and now we've got one here and here, and we can punch through it. Yeah. So
it's good to have smart friends.
We asked him when he was there, and I could see his wheels immediately turning, and he's like, I think I can do it.
Natural problem solver.
Yeah. I was like, all right, well. And like 3 days later, he goes, hey, try this firmware. And sure enough.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, Josh, what should we know about what the Marshalls are hitting the cabs wise? Cabs or speakers out front on the stage? Is there anything? Are they going, how are they being routed?
We have two 412s out there. One of them has Greenback City, the other one has Vintage 30s in it.
Okay.
One's a Marshall, one is a Babcat.
Okay.
Other than that, there's nothing particularly special about them. They're just loud as hell.
Yeah. And the last question I asked you, going back to the kind of building this rig out, what was the biggest hurdle you had to, or the biggest kind of problem or gap you had to fill in to make this baby fly?
You know, realistically, it was the time to do it was the big thing, but doing it and getting it to stay quiet, that's been the thing.
You okay, know what I mean? So
it's just like because we're kind of, because
I don't see any noise unless
we don't know noise gates.
Okay,
that was we tried, and I came to the conclusion like that main sound, we're hitting it so hard in the front that if we put a noise gate, it's gonna, you're gonna hear it all day long. And he's too dynamic. He's rolling the volume down all the time. He's constantly rolling the volume and the tone around, switching pickups and stuff. So it just didn't, we just couldn't do it. But you know, just strategically based ISO transformers and, you know, making sure all the grounds are where they need to go. The big hurdle really is, you know, we're doing this serial effects loop, so we're kind of tying the amps together in a bunch of different places. We're trying to separate them. It's been a bit of a thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's quiet, it's serviceable. As quiet as it can be, I guess.
Yeah.
For being how loud it is. But, yeah. But I think that, you know, that was the big thing. Just, and then the amount of time we had. I mean, there's a lot of pedals in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cabling. I don't know if you looked in the back. There's a ton of cabling in the back. So, yeah. Conceptually, he knew exactly what he wanted. It was just getting in there and trying to make sure we could do it all in a way that was advantageous for him, you know.
Paper to stage is a whole different, you know, equation.
Yes. The worst thing would have been to put it together and have it just hum and buzz and make no nice sounds at all.
I don't think I'd be talking to you if you hummed and buzzed this sucker. Josh, it's real cool to talk to you, man.
Thank
I'm
going
to go talk to Joe about Mikey's gear.
Cool, right on, man.
All right, last but not least, we are joined by Joe, tech for Mikey. Joe, how you doing?
Doing well, and yourself?
Really well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. I know it's a busy day here in Chicago, but again, we appreciate your time, and I know they do too. So talk to us about the rig. What do you got?
Yeah, I guess we'll start with the bass since I have it in my hand.
Yeah.
This is one of Mikey's mains that he's used for, well, since we got back together, or they got back together in 2019. It's based off his another signature series or signature bass that he had back when they were doing stuff like 10 years ago, like a Silver Sparkle. I think it was a Mustang. So he actually had this one made for all this, the comeback stuff, and then they approached him to do a signature model. So they have, you know, Mexican made versions of this out in the world. So yeah, this is what it's based off of, you know, same sparkle and stuff like that. So
I love the double bound neck on the maple with the black.
It's really
the
cool.
Maple looks cool.
I think out of all the basses that he has, this is, I mean, it you know, obviously it's his main, but this still sounds the best.
Yeah.
Out of all, like, we have, I think we have five basses out with us, and maybe it's just been broken in over the last couple of years of touring, but
yeah, man.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're doing tonight basses to keep it running, or is it kind of a steady horse?
Steady horse for this guy. Generally during the main set for the Black Parade stuff, we have two identical basses here. I'll switch to those.
Yeah, cool.
They were made for this particular run, just to kind of match the stage aesthetic with like the black and, or the red and gray. Like if you look at all the mic cables and stuff like that, stage is all red and gray. But these are also great. Brian Thrasher over at the R&D like shop for Fender, he made these really cool basses.
Yeah, headstock's cool.
Yeah, I love that part. And these are the Adam Clayton pickups in both of them.
Okay.
This is it. He kind of rides this the whole time, and then he'll switch to basically an identical bass for like the full step down.
Oh, all right.
So these are all tuned to half step down, like the rest of a D sharp standard.
Okay.
And this is just D standard.
All right.
So, yeah.
I see a black one and a blue one in here.
So the black one. The black one's just is just a backup. It's basically like a black version of the Sparkle.
Yeah.
I think we like the Silver Sparkle a lot better, so we kind of stuck with this, and this has always just kind of stayed in the vault.
Got it.
And then for the LA shows, they made him this Dodger bass here, which actually is the same. This is the Dodger Blue. They got permission from the Dodgers and MLB to actually use that, the actual blue.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
As a guy that's a Cubs fan that doesn't really appreciate the Dodgers.
I know.
That's cool that MLB approved.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. I mean, I grew up in LA. I grew up, you know, going to Dodgers games, so it was pretty cool to even just play Dodger Stadium. And
yeah.
I mean, I was actually, my Little League, first Little League team was a Cub. I was a Cub. So.
See, we had you.
Yeah, exactly. So it would have been cool if we were at Wrigley, but hey, you know, Soldier Field's all right too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is, I mean, he rarely plays this one. I don't think he wants to offend anybody.
Yeah,
maybe he'll bring it out in Boston or something like that.
That'd be great.
But yeah, that's about it.
What should we know for strings?
Yeah, we're using Ernie Ball's 105 to 45. What is that? The slinky, like the, can't remember what they call them, the hybrid slinkies.
Okay.
Yeah.
45 to 105.
Five, yep. And then we use the Clayton triangle picks, it's like a 70, 73 or something like that. And then we've been using like Dunlop for like, everybody's making a custom pick for each show.
Okay, because so. I was lurking and I saw the big triangles, which makes sense to see those a lot of bass players, but then I saw a more traditional guitar pick. So that's just a throw.
He actually uses them. Yeah, it's.
Is there a, well, I'm going to use it this songs or these moments, or is it just he grabs
think,
and
I
goes?
I think it changes every day. Okay. Like, he's like, oh, I think I want to play the sharps, and then he'll occasionally go back to his main triangle pick.
Interesting, because there's so much surface area difference.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Indeed. So.
Well, cool. Yeah. I'm going to step on the other side of here and then talk to me about the rig.
Yeah, you know, we've been working with Fender for such a long time. You know, Mike Scholes is a good friend of the band, and, you know, I mean, the Super Bassmans are fantastic. You know, I mean, I think that they're loud. You know, we don't actually use the dirty channel on these. We actually, I've been pushing it with some like an Origin Effects. So it is a DC.
Okay, because I was wondering about those.
Yeah, the DC.
So those are front into the amp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This actually goes. It's actually pre DI too. So we actually get a little bit of grit with the clean channel.
Got it.
So yeah, we've been using the Origin Effects stuff. Actually, I just started using this stuff, the DCX. We were using an API for a little bit, and it didn't really do much for the tone. The DCX kind of adds a little bit of grit to it.
Okay.
Does a little bit of tone shaping. Yeah, and then that runs into that to push the front of the amp a little bit. Sounds pretty good.
And then up top here, we got a few pedals.
Yeah, so we got a lot of the stuff we're not using during this set. The Aguilar stuff, the Agro he uses. I have a couple different versions or variations of settings and stuff. I think during Sharpest Lives we have one that's on all for the whole song. And
okay.
It kind of has a little bit more like mid-scooped sound, and then during Give 'Em Hell Kid when we play it on you know, as a full rig, we'll do this has a little more presence, a little more mid-forward.
Yeah, and you can see the EQ difference just on the two setups.
Mm-hmm. So, and then actually during the bridge, there's like a bass solo during one of the songs that I cascade the two.
Okay.
Just to kind of give a little more.
Nice.
The Assmaster, it's a pretty gnarly pedal. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
For me personally, I'm a bass player as well. It's kind of uncontrollable for my style just because I ding in pretty hard. But he's a pretty light. He has a light touch, so a lot of the stuff we use, it's kind of has like that gated sound to it. Even though it's like I have two octave fuzzes on there, but this has that kind of gated, kind of bit crunchy sound to it. Which, for I think it's I can't remember what song we use it on, but it has a pretty cool tone to it. And then during Kids, I actually just got this sub octave MXR to try it out because I was using a couple different pedals to try and achieve the sound that we were going for, and I think I was missing the actual octave to that sound, which this has the octave that you can kind of blend in there, which is cool. Adds a little bit more kind of, you know, girth to it, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but that's pretty much it. Doesn't really use too many pedals aside from the, you know, what you see here, and that's usually just one song.
Yeah.
And these are the always on, and you know, I think for this set in particular, we only use one of the aggros for one song. That's
okay. And then on stage, I know that you guys have DI stuff running to front of house, mm-hmm. But there is their cab like 8x10.
Yep.
Is that the matching 8x10?
Yeah, the Neos. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. One cab's running, we were actually thinking about doing two cabs at one point, but one's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last question before we get out everyone's hair is I know that, like you had alluded to, that he's also was playing Mustang basses back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why we're just going jazz bass on this tour, on, you know, this strun?
You know, I'm not entirely sure why he decided to go to jazz basses. I think he was using a Geddy Lee just before he started up again.
Fell
I think in he just got it. Yeah, he just got comfortable with that. So the silver sparkle here and the black sparkle there is basically a Geddy Lee.
Got it.
That's like kind of like specced out, like the neck profile and stuff like that is specced out like a Geddy Lee bass, the Signature Series.
Awesome. Well, Joe, I really appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys for watching. Keep checking out Rig Rundowns. We love you.
The satisfaction of finishing your pedal board for the 38th time.